Morning. Today's daf in Kedushin is Yud Zayin. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is owner Zech Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bas Shemuel. We are today on starting on Tet Zayin Amud Beis. Eved Ivri has been the topic of discussion for the last couple of days. Since Yudal Amud Beis, where the mission introduces to the topic of Eved Ivri. So the Gemara has been in constant discussion regarding this topic. We find ourselves towards the bottom of the Amud. Okay, let's start again. Tanichada. Okay, we did this at the tail end of yesterday, but this is really the beginning of the discussion. Tanichada, one brisa teaches us it's 2/3 of the way down into Zayin Amud Beis. One brisa on Nek, Eved Ivri Latzmo. When you give the severance package to the Eved Ivri, so it goes to him, meaning he's the collector of the severance package. In a moment, the Gemara is going to ask the question. I think we knew that already. I mean, where else do you think it's going to go? Who else do you think is going to be the recipient of the severance package? But anyway, that's the first part of the brisa. Va'anakama Ivri Latzmo. Now, when the woman gets a severance package, now an Amma Ivriya is sold before she's a bas mitzvah, and then at bas mitzvah, that when she shows simanim, she's going to go free, but she's going to go free, but she's still under the jurisdiction of her father, and the father gets all the shevach of hers. Therefore, the anak, the severance package, is going to go towards her father. So, the anak Amma Ivriya latzma. Sorry, the first brisa says that she gets the severance package. I jumped the gun. V'tanya idach, and we have another brisa, anak Amma Ivriya mitziyasa la'aviya. And the second brisa, the anak of the Amma Ivriya goes to her father, the way I just described, and also Mitzia as well. She picks up an item that she finds that doesn't belong to anybody, or did in the person at Yesh. She finds it goes to her father. Her father still has jurisdiction over her, even though she was sold, and even though she's working for somebody else, but the father still has jurisdiction over her. Now, being that she's employed by somebody else, so that means that the time it took her to find, pick up the item and give it to her father is going to be time lost for her employer slash owner. So that's going to require compensation, but short of that, though, it still goes to her father. Now, what's bothering us right now in the Gemara is the discrepancy between the two brisas. Brisa number one says that she receives the severance package. Brisa number two says that the father receives the severance package. My love had the nafka
b'sim. Same thing, because the first brisa didn't mention Metzia.
Well, based on the answer, we'll see the answer. So my love had the nafka b'sim and had the nafka b'misasaf. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's a question of how she was released from her status of being an Amma Ivriya. One is where she was released because she was, she becomes a bas mitzvah with simanim, so then it would go to her father because she's still under the jurisdiction of her father even as she leaves her owner, because again, father has jurisdiction over her until she becomes a bogeris, which will be 6 months from now. And the other brisa is talking about when she leaves with the death of the father. Now, yesterday we had a discussion in the Gemara that according to Reish Lakish, the death of the father of her father is going to release her from her state of being status of being an Amma Ivriya. Now, the Gemara yesterday refuted the opinion of Reish Lakish. What the Gemara now wants to try to do for a moment is let's try to bring it back. Let's try to see if Reish Lakish's position, even though refuted, could explain these two brises. So the Gemara immediately rejects this suggestion. Lo idiv idin anafka la b'simanim. Nope. Both brises are talking about where she exits her Amma Ivriya by becoming a nara, by becoming bas mitzvah with the simanim. Velo kasha hadi iselav hadle iselav. And then it's just a question whether there is or there isn't a father. If there is a father, he's the recipient. If there isn't a father, she's the recipient. Okay, so that's a simple way to explain the discrepancy between the two brises. So the Gemara says, now, in terms of the severance of the Amma Ivriya, there is a chiddush, and we have to hear the chiddush. What's the chiddush we need to hear? Her brothers are not going to get the severance package. What might I have thought? Ditanya. He's not chatam osam levnechem acharechem osam levnechem. Here's what I might have thought. I might have thought that the rights of a daughter are inherited by the sons. Meaning, here's what we know for sure. The sons inherit the Eved Kenani. Father dies. Part of the estate is Eved Kenani. The sons inherit it. So you see that the sons are inheriting Avdus. They inherit slaves, but that's only ever Kanani. What about the father's rights over his daughters? Rights, father has right to sell the daughter, and the father receives all the benefits of those daughter of his daughter, the mitziah, the anak, all the benefits of the daughter. I might have thought that when the father dies and the daughter is still a minor, the sons are going to inherit those rights as well. That's so the chiddush is they do not. Those are not inheritable rights. Okay, so that's the chiddush, and we have to hear that chiddush. Ella anak evdi v'latzma pshita. The first statement of the brisa, however, really begs the question: what is it teaching us? That when an evdi ivri finishes his servitude and he receives a severance package, he gets to keep the severance package. What else would I have thought? So ella laman, who else should it have gone to? And why would the brisa need to teach us that? That seems to be such an obvious point, and the brisa is not interested in sharing with us obvious points. The brisa is only interested in giving us chiddushim. So I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef's first quip that he says when he hears this is Yud Kras Kachazina Hacha. Yud, says Rashi, which is a very small letter, you're making a big city out of it. Right? We have an English expression, making a mountain out of a molehill. Right? And that's basically what the Gemara is saying as far as an idiomatic expression is concerned. Right? Rav Yosef says, you're making such a big deal about this. Abai Amar, Hachia Amar Av Sheshes. Now, I guess Rav Yosef is basically saying, I don't think it's such a big deal. Maybe it is an obvious point. Okay. But anyway, Abaye says, no, there actually is a chiddush over here. Because Hamani Tutai Hi Detanya. The Gemara says we're going to remind ourselves what we learned yesterday. And that is Amar Lo V'lo Lo Baal Chovo. Remember, we learned yesterday. We have Shibud de Rabbi Nassan. Shibud de Rabbi Nassan says that if A owes B and B owes C, so then A owes directly to C. And B no longer becomes a principal in this player. Okay, in other words, that obligations go from point A to point C. So let's say the Eved Ivri owes somebody else money, and he gets the anak. Well, the owner owes the Eved Ivri the anak. That's A owing B, but B also owes C. So therefore, one can make the argument that C should be able to go to the owner and say, "Look, you're going to give the Eved Ivri the Anak, but meanwhile he owes me, you're going to give me the Anak." That's Shibud de Rabbi Nassan. And what we learned yesterday is Daf, and now what the Gemara is repeating is, that's simply not true. The Torah in the Parsha of Eved Ivri, specific to the Anak, tells us that that's simply not true. That the Anak is going to stay with the Eved Ivri and not get passed along directly to C. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, ultimately, of course, B-O-C, the Eved Ivri owes this person, and eventually is going to have to pay him, but Shibud de Rabbi Nassan is broken based on this Gezeirah Shavah. And that's the Chiddush that the Brice is coming to teach us. That the Eved Ivri gets the Anak, even though he owes somebody else money. Okay, Gufa. Elam Anikim Lahem. Okay, we saw this price already. We're now talking about eligibility of severance package. I know we discussed this yesterday. The Gemara is reviewing the price. So, Elam Anikim Lahem Yotzi B'Shanim Aviyova V'Mises Adon V'Ame Yivra B'Simanim. These are the people that are eligible for a severance package. Somebody, an Eved Ivri who leaves after 6 years, one who leaves after Yovel, one who leaves after the owner dies, and the Amma Yivriya when she turns 12. According to the Tanakhama, if the Eved Ivri runs away, he doesn't receive a severance package. Now that point seems to be pretty obvious. I mean, the severance package is only when your job is done. Here, in the middle of his 6 years, he says, "That's it, I've had it. No more." I mean, we're going to discuss in just a moment what else would you have thought. And furthermore, the Gemara is going to ask in just a moment, doesn't he have to come back and finish the job? Meaning, obviously, he's running away, but we'll get Basin involved and we'll get the police involved and he's got to come back, he's got to finish the job. Like, where is he going? So, and also, Giron Kesef does not receive Hanukkah. Somebody who leaves by buying out his own contract, does not receive Hanukkah. That is according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Meir Omer Boreach, and Manikin Lo, Yosef Begaron Kesef, Manikin Lo. Rabbi Meir makes a split. He says that if an Eved Ivri runs away, he does not receive Hanukkah. If an Eved Ivri leaves because he buys out the rest of his contract, so he does receive Hanukkah. And Rabbi Shimon Omer Arba Manikin Lahem, and Rabbi Shimon says that there are four that are going to receive a severance package. Shlosha Beish V'Gimel Beishah. Now, of the four, Three are applicable to a man, three applicable to a woman. This should sound familiar, this part of the brayso that we did yesterday. But you cannot say that all four apply to one of them. Why? Because there's no idea of simanim, of physical maturity by a man, in that physical maturity by a man will not allow him to leave his owner. And Ritzia Beisha. And also there's no idea of the piercing of the ear as it relates to a woman. That's simply not an option as it relates to the woman. Okay. Adkan Divrei HaBraisa, that is the end of the Braisa. Just to review what we learned yesterday, what are the four categories that we're talking about? So the Gemara had a Havimini yesterday, but the Maskana was, the four categories that we're talking about is one, Shanim, leaving after 6 years, two, Yovel, three, the death of the owner, and three, Yovel of the Ritzia, that's it, and four, Ama Ivriya. That is those are the four categories that Rabbi Shimon is making reference to. Of these four categories that Rabbi Shimon is making reference to, one, two, and three apply to a man. Of the four that Rabbi Shimon is making reference to, one, two, and four can apply to a woman. But Ritzia doesn't apply to a woman because a woman does not go through the option of Nirtza. We'll bring sources for that later this morning. Okay. Minahani Mili. In the Gemara now, we are towards the bottom of Tazayim at base, and four lines from the bottom, and the Gemara at the end of the line asks the question, where do we know this from? Meaning, where's the sources for these halachas? Tazayim Rabban, the Gemara quotes now another braisa. Yachalo ye manikim alali yotze b'sheish, minayin l'rabos yotze b'yovel. I might have thought that he will not get a severance package unless he finishes a full 6 years. How do I know that, let's say, Yovel comes right in the middle of his 6 years, which we kind of knew that was going to happen. Yovel's not like a surprise. Like, it didn't like all of a sudden strike us, oh, look at that, Yovel. But how do I know that if Yovel comes in the middle of the 6 years, he's still going to receive a severance package? Uve misas ha'adon. And what if the owner dies? Or Ama Ivriya b'simanim? Or what if the Ama Ivriya does not finish her 6 years because she becomes a bas mitzvah in the middle of her 6 years? So tamalamar tishal chenu. Because the key word when it comes to the severance package is that the owner released him. So now, if shiluach is all you need, so then what if he runs away? Or what if he buys out the rest of his contract? Tamalomer, v'chise shachenu chafshi me'imach. Misha shilucho me'imach. The reason, the cause of him leaving, it has to be you. Meaning the owner has to be the one responsible, actively or passively, and I say passively because one of the examples that was given is that he died. That's not really an active shiluach. But still, he's leaving as a result of the owner. It's the owner caused him to leave. However, if the owner did not cause him to leave, so then he's not entitled to the severance package. So according to the Tanna Kamma, if the Eved Ivri runs away, so that's not leaving as a result of the owner. That's strictly the Eved Ivri. And if he leaves because he's buying out his contract, that's also not as a result of the owner. That's as a result of the Eved Ivri. So in those cases, he's not entitled to a severance package. All this explains the position in the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Meir Omer Barech Emanika Lo De'in Shiluchah Mi'amach. Now, Rabbi Meir makes a split. When the Eved Ivri runs away, he's not going to get the severance because he ran away. And that has nothing to do with the owner. Aval Yotze B'Geran Ketzer Shiluchah Mi'amach. But when it comes to a giron kasef, buying out your contract, so you could still say that's me'imach. Why? Because the owner has to accept the money. Now, it doesn't sound like he has an option. It doesn't sound like we're going to ask his permission. Will you accept the money? It sounds like from the Gemara, he has to accept the money, but still, he's involved. He's participating in the release of the Eved Ivri. That's enough of a qualifier of Mi'imach so that he receives a severance package. Barech HaShlam Abai. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. I'm not understanding our entire discussion regarding Barach. He runs away. He's not going to get severance package. Not going to get severance package. We seem to have been skipping a very significant step, which is we got to get him back here in order to finish the job. Boreach hashlam abay detani minan laboreach shechayv lahashlim tamalamer sheisham niyavod yachol afilu chala. Now, what if the Eved Ivri gets sick? So he didn't run away. All he did was get sick, and he couldn't work as a result of his illness. So tamalamer uvashvias yetsay. So the Torah teaches us, no, that as long as he's there, right? Being there is, you know, is more than half the battle. As long as he's there, that qualifies as him considered serving his time as Eved Ivri. And the seventh year is going to go free. So anyway, but and we're going to come back to the point of illness in just a moment. But anyway, it comes out pretty clearly that he's got to work there for 6 years. Sick or not sick, he's got to be there for 6 years. Once he's a boreach, he's simply not there. And he needs to finish the 6 years. I'm Rav Sheshet, Zachar ben Maizkin, Kagon, Shebaruch Upagaba Yovel. So the Gemara says, what happened is as follows. He did run away, and then after running away, the Yovel year hits. Meaning, of course, if he runs away, you got to get him back. That's obvious. What isn't obvious is, let's say he runs away, and then Yovel year hits. Now the Gemara says, now we have a Chiddush. So now you can make the argument of, look, I know I wasn't there the whole time. I know I ran away at the end. Right? Just what an uncomfortable conversation as he knocks back on the door of the owner. And he says, look, I know I ran away, and I'm really sorry, and I shouldn't have. But I'm here for my severance package. Because the Yovel year did come. And had I been here, you know, I would have been released with a severance package. So I'm here for my severance package. So, So I might have thought, it's a strange havamina. I might have thought that we shouldn't impose a kanas. We should give him the hanaka. So kamash malan. So the chiddush is, and you know, I could say under my breath, I don't hear this as much of a chiddush. But the chiddush is, no, he's not going to get a severance package. He did run away before the before the Yovel year came. Amar Mar, short Gemara, interesting Gemara regarding illness. We learned in the Braisa that illness does not detract from his servitude of 6 years. So that if he was sick during those 6 years, it still counts. Amar Mar Yachol Afilu Chola Tamalamar Vashiyas Yetzei Afilu Chola Kol Sheish. So the Gemara says, really, he's sick for all 6 years. Tongue twister, right? He's sick for all 6 years, and that counts. Vatanya, and the Gemara says, and I'll show you a brisa. Chalosh v'avad shalosh eino chayiv lahashlim. Let's say in terms of his attendance rate, 50%. For the 6 years, he was sick for 3 of those years. 3 of the years he was healthy and he was working. So eino chayiv lahashlim, that counts. That's pretty good. I don't think most employers would be happy with a 50% attendance rate. So ainu chayev lahashlam. Chala kol sheish chayev lahashlam. But if he's sick for all 6 years, so that doesn't count, then he has to make it up. Now, the Gemara in a moment is going to point out, there is a gap between 3 years and 6 years. And what are we doing jumping from 3 years to 6 years? So, Amar Rav Sheshet ba'osa maisa machat. But before we get to that question, the Rav Sheshet says, I'll explain to you how this is going to work. There's being sick, and then there's being sick. And Rav Sheshet says, look, if you're sick, but he's still able to do things while he's sick, stitching. Masa machat, tofer, says Rashi. If he's stitching while he's sick, so that is going to count. It's not obviously going to be the most useful use of his time, but right now he's sick and he's doing something, so that's going to count towards the hashlama. What the Bryce is describing is where he's sick and incapable of doing anything. He can't, in his ill condition, he can accomplish nothing. So then you need a 50% rate of work in order for it to count. Anything more than that, and it simply won't count. But the Gemara here points out now that the Braisa, even though I said it very clearly that 51 is no good, but the Braisa didn't say that. The Braisa jumped from 3 years to 6 years. The Braisa itself is a little bit misleading because the Braisa goes from 3 to 6. What if it's 4? So the Gemara's answer is Hachi Kamar. This is what the Braisa actually means. Chala Dalid. If the guy was sick for 4 years and during those 4 years he did nothing. So if the guy was sick for 4 years, so then chayav lahashlam. And it's as if he were sick for all 6 years, and so therefore it's as if he's done nothing, and therefore he's got to do now the full 6 years once again.
So if a yovel falls in the middle?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Tosfos over here has a fascinating discussion. You got to see it. I mean, we're not going to go through it right now. But Tosfos wants to know, is the Gemara now, are these halachas that we just learned together regarding the Eved Ivri, are they reflective of general employment halacha? Meaning, are these halachas specific to Eved Ivri, that a 50% clip of non-performance, non-attendance is acceptable and doesn't and it's not going to break the employment contract? And is this true also regarding regular employment? Or no, by regular employment, there's a higher standard. Okay? See Tosfos for that discussion.
Owner owns a group.
So right, correct. Correct. You're right. You can make that distinction that here's the Kinyan Aguf.
Right.
Right, like the Gomar said earlier. Absolutely correct. Okay.
It depends if it's based in sins of you or itself.
Okay, anyway, Tosfos debates this issue. See the second Tosfos for that discussion. We go on in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Kama manikim lo. Okay, and you probably been wondering, what exactly is the severance package? Okay, it's nice that we're speaking now about who's eligible for it. It's not nice, it's important to know who's eligible. But you also want to know how much. So before I tell you how much, let's see the Pesukim in the Torah, where the Torah gives a somewhat specific description of what the severance package is going to look like. We are in Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh, remember there are three Parshas that we need to know Eved Ivri. Mishpatim, Bahar, and Re'eh. Mishpatim and Re'eh are Mocher Machru Bezdin, and Bahar is talking about Mocher Satzmo. That's the basics. That's what we need to know. And on that, we turn to Parshas Re'eh. I'm reading from the Pesukim. Ki Machel Lecha Achicha Ivri O Ivriya Va'avadcha Sheshanim. When a man or woman is sold to you and they work for you for 6 years, uvashana shviz teshalchenu, and you send him out in the seventh year, chavshi me'imach, free, meaning he's totally free to go. V'chiz teshalchenu chavshi me'imach, lo teshalchenu rikam. And then the Torah says, and make sure that when you send him out, do not send him out empty-handed. Ha'anik ta'anik lo, give him a package. Meitzoncha, and what are you going to give him? The Torah actually gives examples. Give him sheep. Umigarncha, give him grain. Miyikvecha, give him wine. Asher beirecha Hashem lakecha, titein lo. Whatever God blessed you, that's what you give him. And then the Torah says, and oh, by the way, please remember. And remember that you yourselves were slaves. So you should have a certain amount of empathy towards the Eved Ivri because you yourselves were slaves. Okay. Those are the Pesukim and Parshas Re'eh. So actually, the Torah does not say how much, but the Torah does give examples. Tana Rabbanan, we start with the Brisa on Yuzayinam and Aleph at the two dots, about a third of the way down. Kama ma'anikim lo, how much do you give him as a severance package? Chamesh salaim mikol min v'min, sheheim chamesh esrei salaim div Reb Meir. So there are three shita. Shita number one is Reb Meir. Reb Meir says that you take all three examples that are given in the Torah, and of all three, you give five salim of each. 5 times 3 is 15. And later on, the Gemara is going to ask the question, we don't know how to multiply. Of course we know how to multiply. So we knew that 5 times 3 is going to equal 15. Why did Reb Meir have to tell us 15 in total? Rav Yehuda omer shloshim, kishloshim shel eved. Now Rav Yehuda says it's going to be an amount equivalent to 30 salim. Because we know that if your animal kills the eved kanani of somebody else, so as a fine, you have to pay the owner 30 salayim for the lost life of the Eved Kenani. Right? We're not talking, you didn't commit murder, but as a result of your property, your animals killed an Eved, somebody else's Eved Kenani, you have to pay 30 salayim. Now, I know we're talking about an Eved Ivri, we're not talking about an Eved Kenani, but again, they're both avadim, different types. And so you see that the Eved Kenani value is set at 30 salayim. The Ha'anaka, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is going to be 30 salayim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chamishim. Ke Chamishim Shebe Erchen. And Rabbi Shimon says it's going to be 50, because when we talk about Erech, which comes up at the end of Sefer Vayikra, so the Erech, when I give somebody's Erech, it depends on age and gender, the only two variables. And the maximum Erech there is 50 salayim. Therefore, the Hanukkah for the Eved Ivri is going to be 50 Selaim. Okay. Those are our three shitas, and the Gemara now is going to go through all three shitas. Amar chamish leim mikol min v'min she'im chamish esrei selaim div Reb Meir. Reb Meir minyana asa lash me'inan. Gemara is bothered by the question. We don't know how to add. We don't know how to multiply. Sure, we do. 3 times 5 is 15. So akamash malan miftzahu delo miftzah le mehai minyana v'ibatzah le mechad mina v'tafah le mechad mina leiflan ba. So what Reb Meir is coming to teach us with the math at the end is that 15 is a critical number. You need to get to the sum of the 15. Now, how? It's got to average out at 5 per min. The Torah gives 3 minim. Soncha, garncha, umiyikvecha. So it's got to be sheep and grain and wine. And doesn't have to be 5 of each, but it's got to average 5 of each so that the total gets to 15. My time at the Reb Meir, I love Reikam, Reikam, and Bechor. Now, in terms of Reb Meir, so how do you get to the number 5 for each? How did that number come about? Gzereshava. Malahan chamesh laim, afkan chamesh laim. Now, we do find the word Reikam used at the end of Parshas Kisisa, when the Torah talks about the redemption of the firstborn. Now, we know the redemption of the firstborn is chamesh selaim. It's 5 selah. So five shkalim. So therefore, the word reikam used over here is going to be set at 5, and we're going to have 5 for each. Now the emer chamish lan mikulu. Now the gemara says, now wait 1 second. Maybe 5 is a sum total, not the one for each. Iksiv reikam lebesav kedekamar. So the gemara says you got to look carefully back at the pesukim that we just cited earlier. It doesn't. If the word Reikam was written at the end, so then I would have agreed with you. But it doesn't. It says, Lo se shachanu Reikam, and then the next pasuk, Hanek tanik lo, mitzon chamigan chamikvecha. So, Hashe dechsev Reikam bereisha, it says Reikam first. Meaning not the beginning of the pasuk, but at the end of the previous pasuk. And then, Shti Reikam atzon, Reikam agoren, and Reikam ayakev. It's as if the Torah is saying that the word Reikam should be placed on each one of the types. So it's Reikam, which is equal to 5, on each one. So it's 5 times 3. Venelev Reikam, Reikam, me olas ri'ya. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the word Reikam should be connected to olas ri'ya. Look at Parshas Kisisa, and you will see that the word Reikam is not really going on the pigeon b'chor of 5 slime. It's really going on the mitzvah of olas ri'ya. Every yontif we have to go to Yerushalayim, and not now we don't have a base of mikdash. Although there, actually some rishonim say that there's still a mitzvah of aliyah l'regel now, even though there's no base of mikdash. But anyway, but in the time of the base of mikdash, you got to go to Yerushalayim on yontif, and you got to bring a carbon. The carbon's got to be valued at least 2 selaim. So maybe the word reikam is to get us to the number 2, not to the number 5. So amakra sheberach Hashem lokecha. And to which the Gemara just simply deflects, and the Gemara says no, because the Torah says Asher Beirachacha. We're looking for bracha. Bracha is expansive. Bracha we don't constrict bracha. So therefore, given the choice of whether it's going to be 2 or 5, we're going to go with 5. Okay, that all was an explanation of the first shita of Rebbe Meir. Now we turn our attention to Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda Amar Shloshim Kishloshim Shalav in my time of the Rebbe Yehuda Yalef Nesina. May Evid. Also Exereshava. Malahan Shoshim Afkan Shloshim. So just like by the Evid Kanani, as we described a couple of minutes ago, it's going to be set at 30. So too, the Ha'anaka is going to be set at 30. Venelef Nesina Sina Me Erchin. Malahan Chamishim Afkan Chamishim. So the Gemara says, you know, by Erchin, the Torah also uses the word Nesina. And why not make the Exereshava to Erchin? So the Gemara says, Chada de Tafasta Muru Balo Tafasta Tafasta Mua Tafasta. So first of all, the Gemara gives us the tried and true rule that when you are making connections, make the smaller connection. Be more conservative. If you take too much in your hands, you're not going to have anything at all. You take something smaller in your hand, so then you're going to have it. So if I have a choice between 30 or 50, go with 30 over that of 50. Va'od evan me evan havalei lamelef. And also, the gzereshava to evan kanani is a better gzereshava because thematically it's much more connected. We're comparing the hanukkah of evan ivri to the shloshim of evan kanani. They're both of adim. And then what do you want to try to compare it to? You want to try to compare it to erchin? Erchin has nothing to do with evan. It has to do with a donation to the Beit HaMikdash. So thematically, it's also a better Gzeirah Shavah.
Why not go with 15 to 30 Tavsim Aruba?
Right, in other words, right by... No, no, by... Well, I'm sorry, by... You're talking about by Erchin?
No, you're saying you can't go to 50 because the fast of Aruba, you should go to 30.
Right.
But why not go to 50?
Well, because Gzeirah Shavah takes us to Eved Kanani. And Eved Kanani, there's only one number given over there, and that's 30. And finally, the third sheet is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer Chamishim Kemechamishin Shebe Erchin. Now, Rabbi Shimon says that it's 50 connecting to the 50 of Erchin. So my time into Rabbi Shimon, Gamar Nesina Sinam Erchin. As we pointed out, the Pesukim by Erchin also have the word Nesina. And he makes a Gzeirah Shavah over there. Malan Chamishim Afkan Chamishim. Now, by Erchin, the biggest number is 50. Ve'ema Bepacho Shebe Erchin. So maybe it's the smallest number. If I remember correctly, the smallest number by Erchin is 3. So maybe you should get us to 3. Asher beirachecha Hashem Elokecha. So the Torah says, no, bracha. The Hanukkah has to be a function of bracha, and bracha is not constricted. It's expansive. Ksiv. V'neil of Nesina, Nesina me'eved. Now, if we're making a Gzeirah Shavah, and you're using it based on the word Nesina, why not connect it to Eved? Ma'alahan l'shoshim afkan shloshim. And the Gemara says, and don't answer that question yet, and consider the following. Chada, tafasta merubah lo tafasta. And also, it's better to go to Eved Kanani because it's a smaller number, and therefore we're being more conservative, and we should be more conservative. And finally, va'od Eved me'eved havalei lamelav. And also, it's better to make the Gzeirah Shavah to Eved Kanani, because once again, thematically, it's much more connected. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, Micha, Micha, Gamar. So the Gemara says, you're right. Meaning, if the Gzeirah Shavah was based on Nesina, then you're absolutely right. It would have been a better Gzeirah Shavah to make it to Eved Kanani, and therefore, the number would have been 30. I'm setting it at 50 because I have another Gzeirah Shavah. And Rashi over here, you can see the Rashi, and so I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now, but Rashi over here, Divrei Maskil V'Neilef, talks about the idea that Gzeirah Shavah is not something which is just manufactured, but rather it has to be a Mesorah from your Rebbe. And so therefore, if... And obviously, each one of these Tanaim had a different Mesorah, which, you know, obviously means that, you know, somebody's right and somebody seemingly isn't, but they each one of them had a different Mesorah, and Rashi points out over here that the Mesorah of the third Tana is Rabbi Shimon, so he obviously had a different Mesorah in terms of how to formulate the Gzeirah Shavah, and it's based on the word mach, which is used both in the context of Hanukkah and in the context of Erchin. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, the psukim by Parshas Re'eh fit the best, because he says 5 of each type. Great. Meaning, the Torah actually gives examples of what should be the severance package. And according to Reb Meir, we're actually going to give the Eved Ivri the items mentioned in the Torah. So that works out wonderful. Elul Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Heitzon, Gorn, Vyekov, Lamele. But both according to Reb Yehuda and according to Reb Shimon, the only thing that's significant is the value, the number, 30 or 50. But it doesn't have to be sheep or grain or wine. So why would the Torah then mention it according to these Tanaim? Haimi Baile Lechetanya. Yachol lo Yuhu Ma'anikin Ela Mitzon Gor V'yakev. Minayin L'Rabbah is called Davar. So the Gemara quotes a Brisa, and this Brisa says, you don't have to limit yourself as the severance package to sheep, grain, and wine. Why does the Torah give these examples? Tamalama Hashem Barachacha Hashem Lokecha. So because the Torah says, whatever God gave you as bracha, as a result of the Eved Ivri, that's what you give. Imkei matamalam matzon garam v'yakev, lo melecha, matzon garam v'yakev miyuchadim, shieshnam bechlal bracha, of course shieshnam bechlal bracha. It's got to be something which categorically falls under the category of bracha, yatzuk sefen divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that cash is not considered bracha. Now that's funny, I might have thought differently. But the Rashi over here explains, cash is not considered bracha. When we're looking at bracha, we're looking at things that multiply, right? To use a cliche, money does not grow on trees, which is a bit of a shame, but it doesn't, because money doesn't multiply. Now it's true, and we're going to point out in just a moment, you can invest money, and in that regard, money will grow. But physically, biologically, money doesn't grow. The examples that the Torah gives, Son, Goren, Yekev, so those are things which physically, biologically, grow. And that fit under the category of bracha. So that's what you have to give according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer Yatsu Prados. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is actually much more literal. It's when the Torah gives the example of bracha, the category of bracha, the exclusion is a very limited exclusion. You can't give a mule. A mule doesn't reproduce. Rabbi Shimon Prados Mishabcham Begufayo. Now Rabbi Shimon will argue because even though a mule doesn't reproduce, but it does grow bigger. So in that regard, there is bracha by mule because it does physically actually grow. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Ksafim Avid Bei Iska. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, actually money also reproduces because you invest the money and in that way the money grows. Okay. Utsri Chadikas Rachman Etzon. Now, why all three of these examples? So the Gemara explains the necessity of all three. Because of Rachman Etzon, Hava Mina Bale Chaim and Gidule Karkala. Because if the Torah would have just given stone, it would have said, I would have thought the severance package has to be an animal, an actual organism. But, let's say with animal. So, Gidule Karkalo, because of Rechman of Gorin. Because of Gorin, and now if the Torah would have said grain, Hava Amina Gidule Karkin, Bale Chaim Lo, I might have thought, no, it has to be specifically grain, it can't be an animal. Because of Rechman of Stone, and that's why the Torah says stone. Yekev Lamali, now that we have Bakar and Gorin, sorry, now that we have Tson and Garen, so why is there a need to mention Yekev, the grapes, the wine? Lamar Lamute Ksafa, Lamar Lamute Prados. So it's either going to exclude either money or mules. Rashi and Chumash, parenthetically, regarding these Pesukim and Parshas Re'eh, so Rashi takes a side. If you take a look at Rashi and Chumash, Asher Beirachacha, I'm reading Rashi and Chumash now, Mikom Asher Beirachacha Barecha. V'lama Namru Eila, Ma'ela Michadim Shein Bechlal Barecha, Avkol Shehu Bechlal Barecha, Yatsu Prados. Rashi and Chumash, it's funny, we know the Gemara, we know that there are many Shitas. If you read Rashi and Chumash, Rashi just simply says, not mules. Okay, Rashi and Chumash takes a side. Okay, so mules are excluded, which means that according to Rashi, Kesef works. You can give him Kesef. Okay, top of Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Tana Rabbanan. Asher berachacha Hashem Elokecha yachol nizbarech ba'is beglalo manikin lo, lo nizbarech ba'is beglalo, ein manikin lo. The Havamin over here in this Bryce is as follows. Maybe I'll give him a severance package, but only on a contingency basis. Things were really good when he was here. Maybe the Torah is telling me that, okay, if things worked out really well for me while he was my Eved Ivri, so then I shower him with severance. However, if let's say while he was here, I don't know, he's bad mazel. Things weren't good. I didn't make money while he was here. So then I don't have to give him. And again, if you read the Pesukim, it sounds that way, because the Torah says, give him a severance package. I'll read the Pesukim again. Sounds like it's a contingency. And the Bryce over here actually entertains this as a Havamina, to which the Gemara says no. Tamil Lomer, Hanek Tanik Mikomakom. So the Hanek Tanik, the double language means you give him a severance, irrespective of how well you did when he was with you. So then why does the Torah say Sheberachacha? So the Kahakolafi Bracha Tainlo. And the way Rashi understands this is as follows. Look, the numbers that we gave, 15, 30, 50, that's a minimum, says Rashi. That's the baseline of severance that you have to give him. And then afterwards, if let's say while he was with you, Kadosh Baruch Hu was very good to you and he did very well by you, so then you know what? Make a consideration, a strong consideration, to give him even more on top of that. But the numbers are just simply a baseline. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer Dvarim Kichsavam Nizbarach Bais Beglal Amanikin Lo, Nizbarach Bais Beglal Amanikin Lo. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, no, actually it is really based on a contingency. Only if you receive bracha as a result of the Eved Ivri, then you give him Hanukkah. But if you do not receive bracha while he was with you, then you give him nothing. What about the double language, which just a moment ago we said means that you must give him? Nah, Dibra Torah, Kolosha Bnei Adam. According to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the Hanik Tanik of the Torah is just simply how we speak. Maybe not you and I, but simply how we speak. And so therefore, but don't extract from there that you have to give him, according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, it actually works based on a contingency basis. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, that is the sugya of Hanukkah. Okay, we're done with the sugya of Hanukkah and our next topic of discussion. We touched on this earlier, but as I mentioned, please wait. And now is the time where we get to learn about the Yerushas Eved Ivri, and Eved Ivri gets inherited. Now, generally speaking, that's just simply not true. Meaning that if the owner dies, so the Eved Ivri goes free. Because the Eved Ivri was bought by a owner to work for him, and once he dies, the Eved Ivri goes free. But as we're going to see, under certain circumstances, the Eved Ivri does not go free with the death of the owner. And let's learn about that now. Tanu Rabbanan, Eved Ivri Oved Es HaBen. Ve'eino Oved Es HaBas. And Eved Ivri works for the son, not for the daughter. If the owner dies, and the owner leaves a son, so for the next... Not for the next, but for the remaining 6 years, or until Yovel, the owner is going to continue working for the son. Sorry. The Eved Ivri is going to continue working for the son. But that's not going to be true for the daughter. Meaning that if the owner dies and he leaves a daughter, now mind you, by the way, the daughter gets a Yerusha. But the Eved Ivri does not work for the daughter. Why should that be? We're going to see the Pesukim in just a moment. Ami Ivriya Eino Oved Es Lois HaBen V'Lois HaBas. Now the Ami Ivriya does not work neither for the son nor for the daughter. Hanirza V'Hanimka Lo V'Kochavim Eino Oved Lois HaBen V'Lois HaBas. Now a Eved Ivri Hanirza and someone who sells himself to a guy does not work neither for a son nor for a daughter. Okay. So those are the halachas, and now the Gemara from here till the end of the daf is going to give us sources. Amar. The Gemara says, now where does this come from? Where are the sources for this to Tanu Rabbanan? The Gemara quotes the Pesukim. The Torah says he's going to work for you. Once again, we could stay today in Parshas Ray. Right? The Pesukim today mostly are in Parshas Ray. So the Torah says he's going to work for you. That's a possessive. So you and not your Yerush. Now what about your son? Now, we all know that the son also is a Yerush. But categorically, the son stands in a different category. He is, for a lack of better term, a super Yerush. As opposed to the rest of your family, which are just a generic Yerush. And in a moment, we're going to see why we're going to create such a distinction. Kishu omer sheshanim ya'avod hare leben amor. Yeah, but the Torah says that he is working for 6 years. Working for 6 years sounds like, irrespective of whether there is or there isn't an owner, he's working for 6 years. So basically, it's almost like there's a steer in the psukim. On one hand, the Torah says he works only for the owner. On the other hand, the Torah says he works for 6 years. How are you miyashev that? So basically, the distinction is the son versus the rest of the inheritors. If there's a son, he's going to be working for 6 years. If there is no son, even though someone else is going to be Yoresh, he's not going to be working for 6 years. Hamani mekayim v'avdecha sheshanim lechav lo liyoresh. Maris l'rabas ha'zaben l'hotzi esach. So, the question now is very simple. How do we know to make such a distinction? Marbe ani esaben shekein kam tachas aviv liya'ada ulesteachuza. Oh, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because we know that the son stands in the place of the father in two halachas. Number one, the halacha of Yud. The Torah back in Parshas Mishpatim describes that when a man buys an Ami Ivriya, so he should marry her, or his son should marry her. And, as Rashi over here points out, when the son marries the Ami Ivriya that was purchased by the father, he doesn't need to give her Kesef Kedushin. The money that was used as the purchase will serve as a Kesef Kedushin. Even though it's not the father who is the one who fronted the money, who gave the money, even though it's the son. But in the world of Yehud, the son can fill in the role of the husband. So you see that the son stands in the place of the father. Also, the same thing is true regarding Steachuza. Steachuza, a person is Makdish his field. Now, if he redeems it before Yovel, that's great. And he gets to keep it forever. If somebody else is makdish it in the Yovel year, so the halacha is that in the Yovel year, no, sorry, let me say that again, let me say it correctly. If let's say a man is makdish a field before Yovel, and someone else redeems it, okay, that's better and that's more correct. And somebody else redeems it before the Yovel year, so what happens in the Yovel year, it does not return to the owner, but rather, it gets divided amongst the Kohanim. Okay, halacha in terms of geulas stei achuza. Now, the halacha goes like this. What if, let's say, it was not an outsider who redeemed the land, but it was the son of the Makdish who redeemed the land? The son of the Makdish is considered an insider, not an outsider. And therefore, in the Yovel year, it returns back to the family. Even though it was not the father who redeemed it, even though it was only the son of the father. But in the halachas of Stei Achuza, the son takes in the place of the father. So in two areas of halacha, Yud and Stei Achuza, we see that the son becomes basically a stand-in for the father. So that's why, for the Eved Ivri, where if the father were to die, he's still going to serve out his term for the son, because the son's going to take in the place of the father. The Gemara says, "Adaraba marba ani esaach shekin kam tachas achiv liyibum." So the Gemara says, "But wait one second. I also know that the brother stands in the place of his brother in the world of Yibum. In the world of Yibum, so a man dies, so his brother now fills in his role, marries his wife, and that's what's called the mitzvah of Yibum." So the Gemara says, "Yesh yibum ela b'makom shein ben, ha'yesh ben ein yibum ein yibum." The Gemara makes a super compelling argument. I'm going to put the son above the brother, because remember, if there is a son, there's no mitzvah of yibum. So the brother only fills in the role for his brother only when there is no son. But once there's a son, so then there's no mitzvah of yibum. So you see very clearly that son trumps brother. Okay, that's a super compelling argument. So the Gemara says, "Ela time deika apircha." Now the Gemara says, "Now that's a pircha. That's an argument, and it's compelling." But halav achi ach adif. So the Gemara says, "But wait one second. Even without the compelling argument, and it's good, but even without it, think about it for a moment. I have two halachas that the son stands in the place of the father, and I only have one halacha that the brother is a stand-in for his brother. So it's 2 versus 1." So isn't that enough? When it comes to the halachas of son standing in for the father, I have the mitzvah of yud, and I have the mitzvah of stei achuza. And meanwhile, v'hachachada. And then in the halachas of brother, it's only one. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but stei achuza nami ma'ipircha hu dekanafkele letana klom yeshibum ela b'makum shein ben." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but if we were learning stei achuza, you would know that the only reason why we put son above brother is based on this compelling argument. So it's not really 2 versus 1, because the two halachas of yud and stei achuza are all really based on the compelling argument that when there's a son, there's no mitzvah yibum. So the truth of the matter is, it's not really 2 versus 1. It's really 1 versus 1. But the compelling argument of there's no mitzvah yibum when there's a son is going to be the reason why we're going to tilt in the favor of the son standing in for the father, for Eved Ivri, and not the brother. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up, going over the other halachas expressed in terms of an Eved Ivri, what happens, or an Ami Ivriya, what happens when the owner dies.